This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
45,000 dollars stolen from 9 area ATMs. Welcome in news for Northern Colorado.
That got my attention.
23-year-old Nicholas Robertson,
fitting,
is charged with suspicion of theft after authorities say he stole more than $45,000 from 9 ATMs in Weld County between June and December last year. Robertson turned himself in earlier this month. And according to the Greeley Tribune, he admitted to stealing money from 9 TBK branches. Police became aware of the thefts when they were summoned to a bank in the 3600 block of 35th Avenue in Evans by a manager who spotted the irregular activity.
What would be a regular activity? There's so many questions that pop into mind. I mean, how many times did he visit these machines? There were 9 different ones to equal that amount. I'm guessing there had to be a lot of transactions.
The company Robertson worked for at the time owned and serviced the ATMs.
Really? So he worked for an ATM service company and was robbing them. So obviously had access to opening these machines and getting the money out that way?
Yeah, he is charged in Weld County with suspicion of theft from $20,000 to $100,000, a Class 4 felony, according to Colorado court records. Police began investigating Robertson on February 16th when Evans police were dispatched to a bank in the 3600 block of 35th Avenue on a report of multiple ATM thefts. The reporting party, an ATM manager for the bank, told police that thefts had occurred from multiple branches across the county. In total, the ATM manager said $45,020 was stolen from 9 ATM locations, 6,300 in Evans, 4,840 in Severance, 7,640 in Tocono, 8,160 in Kingsburg, 2,580 in Meade, 3,900 in Milliken, 4,420 in Johnstown, 4,360 in Hudson, and 2,820 in LaSalle. The ATM manager said the bank had been able to recover approximately $41,000 of the stolen money, according to the affidavit. Robertson told police he returned about $41,000 of it, but the affidavit didn't specify exactly how he returned the money. So he turns himself in, which I think is interesting as well. He returns the money, or at least $41,000 of it.
Wake up with a conscience or what?
I think I'm wondering if he felt the cops starting to close in on him. I am wondering if the walls started to get a little closer and closer.
Trying to find ways to lessen the severity.
I mean, I don't know if this holds any water in our legal system. The fact that he turned in,
I don't see how it does.
I think maybe returning the money might hold a little bit.
One, I don't know. I mean, the crime is the crime. That's just, so he obviously hadn't gone on a spending spree. You know, if it was still sitting on the 41 grand, was it a sum of money that he needed a certain amount for something? There's a lot of questions that I mean, and this was over how long of a period of time? Did you say about a 6-month period? It's like a June to January kind of thing?
June to December. Yep.
Okay.
He said, I, Nicholas Robertson, took this cash to help pay student loans and stay on top of debt, as well as help my family financially, the letter read. Yuma police, because this has also happened down in Yuma, where there is about $5,000 stolen, I believe, is what. He's charged with theft from $5,000 to $20,000, a Class 5 felony in Yuma, for doing the same thing. Later on April 2nd, Robertson called Evans police and told them he had an agreement with his security person, though this was not specified, in which he would pay back all the money and no charges would be filed, according to the affidavit. He added that he had already paid back every penny he had. This is a weird one, man. This is so bizarre. Almost like he talked with the security guy and goes, man, I'm in trouble here. I need some of this money. And the security guy had too big of a heart. You know, if this is true, This is what he's saying. This is according to the guy that stole this money. And the security guard said, yeah, okay, but you have to pay it back. He told police he would go to the Evans Police Department the next morning because he had nothing to hide and wanted to get everything taken care of, according to the affidavit. Now he's facing two felony charges.
Wow, that's a bizarre story. How were they tipped off on this?
ATM manager finally caught on.
Is there no security footage? I thought there were cameras all over ATMs, but I guess if you're in charge of them, maybe you're in charge of the cameras. But I wouldn't.
Well, you're probably in charge of the cash going in and out of it.
Well, yeah, I would think that that's where my mind goes. That you have something to do with that, but those usually have a different vehicle with the cash.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Very interesting story. How it has all unfolded. We'll try and follow along with this. That story coming. Via the Greeley Tribune, Chris Bolin writing that story.
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, and the fact that he paid back $41,000 of it, I
don't know how that's going to play out.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
I have no idea. This story coming from the Colorado and via our good friend Miles Bloomhart, who we'll talk with tomorrow. But one of Colorado's 10 released wolves has been found dead in Larimer County. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service told the Colorado on April 23rd, so yesterday, it was made aware of the deceased gray wolf April 18th and determined it was one of the wolves captured in Oregon and released in Grand or Summit counties in late December as part of the state's reintroduction program. The agency said it has sent the carcass for necropsy to determine the cause of death, but that initial evidence suggests it likely died of natural causes. That can include such things as being killed by a mountain lion or other predator. It said a final determination will not be made until a necropsy is completed. No other details surrounding the death are available at this time, but this is the first reported death of one of the wolves released December 18th through the 23rd. This plan is just backfiring in the faces of CPW right now. And part of me feels a little bad for CPW. I know it does, because
this was voted on and thrown in their hands to have to come up with a plan.
Yeah, and they didn't get everything. They didn't not cross all their T's and dot all their I's before they released the wolves.
Well, it's a great unknown. That's wildlife.
But define what, you know, because there are a couple of wolves that have killed. I don't know what the official count is. We'll get that from Miles tomorrow. But we're nearing double digits that they've killed of the livestock. Define depredating. They don't have a definition for what is a depredating wolf. Because in the outline, it is supposed to, it got passed that if there is a wolf that continues to depredate, that CPW has to take them out.
But how can they not depredate? It's what a wolf is. They are a natural apex predator. They walk, move, eat, and kill. It's what they do. It's what they are born to do. It's in them.
But as Miles has told us, once they get a taste for sheep or for cattle or whatever, they'll continue to do that over and over. And there is a rule in the release that says if there is chronic depredation, then the wolf will be killed. It'll be taken out because it is damaging too much. Because let's say it just keeps taking out these cattle, Brian, then it's my taxpayer dollars, your taxpayer dollars, paying out hundreds of thousands of dollars to these farmers. At a certain point, it becomes too expensive. And we did have wolves here. Like beforehand, it was a small number, but we did have wolves, and there was no depredations. There was no depredations that would come out, or they were very few and far between. And so these two wolves, from what I understand, there's two wolves, male and a female, that have been depredating this livestock. And now they believe that they found a den where they are hanging out, and it's close right to the depredating site. And so this couple of farmer, a couple of ranchers up there continuously lose their cattle, and they're calling for a definition on depredation. And, I heard the question posed of, like, well, is it lethal to remove them, or is it a non-lethal manner? And they've got the taste for it now. If you go non-lethal, you're just going to make it somebody else's problem. I mean, it's got to be a lethal measure that goes on in this, and it is of these two wolves that seem to be the big issues, because we're not hearing it from these other wolves. They haven't gone in and got the taste of it yet.
It's just strange, the whole depredating and these kind of things, having a term for a wolf being a wolf. I mean, it's natural. If you put other animals around it, it's going to try to dominate and rule them. It's just, it's the way of nature. That's it. So to say that they're acting in a certain way, they're acting like a wolf. You know, look into it. This is what wolves do, you know, which I think were points that were brought up before anything. And I'm not trying to get, you should have voted this, you should have voted that. But it's just, it's a wolf being a wolf. It's like we're not saying bear are depredating salmon. I mean, but they're naturally...
Yeah. The depredation is about the livestock, though.
And that's a specific term
specific
for that?
For livestock.
Okay, the loss of livestock.
The loss of livestock
is called depredation.
Correct.
Okay.
Not if this wolf was out there killing chipmunks, I don't know why that's the only...
It wouldn't be depredating chipmunks.
No, it would not be.
Unless
no.
you were a chipmunk rancher.
Yeah. Damon Brady, this is my official 2 weeks notice. I've got a new career opportunity.
You're going to be it.
Oh, that'd be so much fun. But no, to your point, no, that would not be considered depredating.
Okay.
Depredating wolves are the ones to kill livestock. If they were out there killing deer or killing whatever.
Didn't know what the
not
term
a problem.
Definitely meant. I hear it and I hear it spoken between you and Miles and see it in stories about them, and I just took it as, oh, that's one of those fancy words for killing.
No, killing livestock.
Okay.
That's the difference. And these ones have chronically killed the livestock, and that's where you've got ranchers that are very upset about this. And again, for sure, and it's another story from Miles that we won't dive too deep into due to time constraints and the fact that Miles will be on with us tomorrow, but Colorado's released wolves believed to have a den in vicinity of recent cattle kills that are happening as well. Let's see here. This is from Jeff Davis, the Middle Park Stock Growers Association president. Removing the male breeder at this point would be irresponsible management and potentially cause the den to fail, possibly resulting in the death of the presumed pups, Davis wrote. This is not a desirable result, and I'm therefore not going to take action at this time to lethally remove this animal. This is what's pissing me off. I mean, I'm proud of it, but it's also pissing me off. These ranchers are taking the high road. They're asking, they're begging, they're pleading for CPW to step in and do something. He sounds like he's had the opportunity to shoot this wolf, and he would have been within his legal rights, and he's not doing it because he knows there's a bunch of pups right up the road. So these ranchers are taking the high road with the idiots that voted this in, and I am saying that. The idiots that did not... think about these ranchers up there, did not think about the consequences that wolves brought along with it, and the ranchers are still sitting here taking the high road. I commend them for it. They're better men than I am, because if I walk out and there's something actively killing one of my baby calves, that thing is going to die. And he has the wherewithal and the presence of mind to not pull the trigger because there's pups. At a certain point, CPW needs to get their crap together, define chronic depredation, and do something about it. Because it's just going to be money on top of money on top of money for these ranchers. They're losing their livestock, which is great right now, but we don't know how long it takes to get it paid out. With the cattle market the way that it is, it's more difficult to jump back into the cattle market now than ever. It's just an issue. I get that the voters of Colorado put Colorado Parks and Wildlife in a tough spot, but you were dealt the hand that you were dealt. Play them. Play your cards. Instead, they're just sitting there going, skip and go fish. I don't know what game we're even playing. That's what the CPW is doing right now, and it's very frustrating. But one wolf is dead, and now we've got chronic depredation from two other wolves, a male and a female, that are believed to have pups in the vicinity of all these cattle kills. It's getting messy. It's getting sloppy up there. Mysterio texting in, sounds like the wolf blanked around and found out. I mean, if they were messing with a mountain lion, yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Do you remember that show when they used to pit up like two animated
animals like
and
the
fight?
Saber-toothed tiger against, you know, the killer sloth?
Well, yeah, right. Like a crocodile and a shark?
Absolutely, yes.
I would like to see one of those between a mountain lion and a wolf. I would like to watch that.
Yeah.
Not a real footage.
Okay, because I'm sure that exists.
Unless it's okay, then yes.
Oh, then you pay-per-view?
Well. Yeah. That'd be the title fight.
Live from the wolf's den. Oh, wait, isn't that a club at the border? No, never mind.
I'm taking the fifth. I don't have to talk to you. 7:22 the time. Let's jump out. There you go. There's news for Northern Colorado. You know that more people get married in June than any other month? CRP can't help you with your wedding plans, but they can get the tow hitch on your vehicle to haul the boat or camper this summer. Online at crp4x4.com. Online again, crp4x4.com. I'm already making plans. My birthday's on a Friday this year. A little bit before the stampede. No, I'm not getting remarried.
Okay, that's where my mind went.
Nope. But planning on taking my razor and going up to the mountains and just shutting off the phone for a few days.
I know you love doing that. I know you picked that up last year, didn't you? And just a great... great way to spend some time around our area and enjoy the outdoors.
Oh, it is. It is. And there's nothing better than going somewhere without cell phone service. Thoroughly enjoy that.
Couldn't agree more.
So truly. I always do that either before or after the stampede. And I've got my hitch from CRP. I've got the tonneau cover on my pickup. I've got it customized to fit my lifestyle. That's what you can do at CRP 4x4.
That means there's a cooler very handy in the back?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, correct. Let's not play any games here. We know. We all already know.
Absolutely.
Yes.
No, and I've heard those razors are phenomenal.
They're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We'll get you out and get you on one with me.
That's
see if I can scare you a little bit. Our Happy Life
sure
Gardens poll question today. What is on the top of your bucket list for
riding
me?
A razor next to Tanner.
I want to visit all 30 MLB stadiums. Scott says a cruise to Alaska and then another trip inland. That would be a lot of fun.
I like that. I do. An Alaska fishing trip is definitely on my list. That's something my wife and I talk about all the time.
It's too cold still for me.
I would love that. Too cold.
I'm out on that.
It's Alaska.
Yeah. Mike said to play a round of golf at St. Andrews.
Oh, yeah. Now people start taking it into another way that I hadn't thought of yet. And some of those type of places, destinations, or where you'd like to go play a game, like you with the sports stadiums. I love that idea. I've yet to step foot in the Vikings stadium, and I would love to do that. Kristen says travel to Scotland, see the Northern Lights, create a world-famous logo, and reach my 100th birthday. I like those.
I do too.
Chris says sailing the pirate route on a sailboat in the Caribbean, returning to my childhood home in Alaska. And here's another Alaska one. Diana said a trip to Alaska, the only state that I have not at least passed through, and see total eclipse number 3 in Greenland.
That's very good.
Yeah, those are all kind of cool. I like all of that. Alaska's starting to pop up a few times. That's definitely on a lot of people's list.
It is. Let us know what is the top thing on your bucket list. Text us 888-530-0043. That's the J9 Agency's text line. Call us Clearwater Products Hotline 970-353-1310 or comment on Facebook at Good Morning NOCO. 7:29 the time now. You're listening to Good Morning NOCO. So the NFL draft is coming up tomorrow. The Denver Broncos sit with the number 12 pick right now, kind of in no man's land. Do they have the ammunition to move up in the draft? Will they trade back in the draft? Or will they sit there and take more of a position player that could help a wide receiver, tight end type at that number 12 pick? We're going to find out tomorrow night. But this coming courtesy of Adam Schefter and ESPN content producer Paul Hembo calculated the percentage of first-round picks that hit or miss based upon whether that player signed a second contract with the team that drafted them.
Okay.
So the data encompasses the 20 drafts spanning 2000 to 2019. Here are the positional hit rates. Wide receiver has a 27% chance of hitting. That is the lowest amongst the position groups.
Hmm.
It is followed by tight end, safety, running back, and cornerback. Cornerback hitting at just 38% of the time. In the middle category, defensive tackle hit 40% of the time, and edge rusher hit 44% of the time. Quarterback hit at 46% of the time. Linebacker 48%, guard 50%, offensive tackle 59%. And the one outlier here is the center position, where it hits at 92% of the time.
Wow.
So 92% of the centers drafted from 2000 to 2020 were Signed a second contract with the team that drafted him. So what does that mean? Why am I sharing this stat? That means the Broncos have a 50-50 chance of hitting on their quarterback in the first round.
I feel that completely. I think this could very well turn into one of those that's being touted as one of the great quarterback classes. It could also be full of busts. I mean, this, we heard this a few years ago with the Mac Jones crowd, yeah. Trevor Lawrence and that group. There's only one that's still, I believe, of that group that's still with their original team. You know, there's been, we have recent history showing us that busts happen. They're also coming into the league with so much more pressure than it used to be as a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
When you come in, it's changed completely all the way around. But yeah, there's a very strong chance. Like, everyone's talking about these big four. And I got to tell you again, I didn't know that much of McCarthy. Is it McCarthy?
Yeah, J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy. Yeah, Drake May.
Yes.
I mean,
who those names really came on later on. And I did not see Drake May play a snap of football.
I have not seen him at all. Didn't either. The draft is weird, man. I used to be really in on the draft. And, you know, I would dive in like Mel Kiper and go through all the stuff as well, like in high school. I've lost it. We'll see who they pick. And
that's kind of where I'm at.
Here's a question for you. You know, with the Broncos and the Vikings obviously picking close to each other, they'll probably get going about the same time the Denver Nuggets tip off tomorrow night.
Yeah.
What will you have your eyes on?
Oh, the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear the name whenever of who ends up being the pick.
This is the NFL draft, the hold that it has on people is just insane to me.
The way it's grown
over
the last couple of decades is incredible.
It's nuts, man. It's nuts. But I thought that was fascinating. You got a 46% chance
Very
of hitting
surprising.
On your quarterback.
But the center one really surprised me.
Yeah, and I'm just not sure. I mean, possibly the reason for that is that there's not as many of them that were drafted, you know, in the first round, and the ones that were, because you don't see
centers.
A lot of centers taken in the first round.
Strong point. I didn't even think of that.
You see the tackles a lot more. That could be the outlier, but a lot of quarterbacks taken in the first round, and you've got a 46% chance of hitting on a quarterback.
It's very rare that your team picks an offensive lineman or something and the crowd goes crazy.
Yeah.
You know, but actually that's where the smart play is getting those guys building and then getting the other things.
Well, in the philosophy of best player available versus team needs. Where do you go on that? I mean, do you go and say, okay, we've got an incredible tight end, but the tight end room already, you know, you've got great people, but the tight end's on the board. Do you double up and have two great tight ends, or do you go with a position of need and you reach a little bit? The philosophy and the thoughts that go into it, I respect the hell out of, but it's just not, I'm not like through the roof for the draft tomorrow. Will I watch? Will I flip it over there when the Broncos are getting close? Yeah, but I'm not like setting my timer to.
No, I'll be
make
curious
sure
to see
in.
What happens, but I don't have to see it as it happens.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. 7:37 the time. Want to say thanks to Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies, Brian.
These guys are fantastic. They have been a supporter of mine from when I first came here, but they've been a supporter of our community since 1969. And boy, are they supporting Greeley now with this fantastic new campus. You need to check that out. They have over 45 physicians across their 6 medical campuses here along the Front Range in Colorado, from Fort Collins to Loveland to Greeley, Longmont, Lafayette, and Westminster. But they are our Greeley hometown orthopedic group, and boy, have they committed to us with this beautiful new facility. Schedule your appointment today at orthohealth.com. That is orthohealth.com. We'll talk to Robin Varelman, get her cattle report next on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 13.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
10 KFKA.
We are live in the Aloe Fiber Studios. I'm Tanner Schwint. Brian Gary is my co-host, and as always, Wednesday mornings, we get the latest with the cattle market with Robin Varlman, the owner of Livestock Exchange and Brush. Robin, good morning. How are we this Wednesday?
Good morning, gentlemen. We are good. It is bright and sunny, and, you know, it's, I don't know, did you guys, were you up early enough to see the moon?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I hung it.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
I guess I'll just answer with, unfortunately, I was up that early to see it this morning, Robin. But, hey, let's dive in. Let's talk about the cattle market. What are we seeing this week?
Well, you know, so far things are moderately changed. On the feeder side, up just a tick. On the fat side, live side, down just a tick. So nothing major on any of that. Just a little bit of slide each direction. Again, consumption is good, and we're just going to hope that it stays steady with uneven changes.
Does that happen often where the feeder side's up and the live side's down?
Yeah, it just kind of depends on the time of year and consumption, you know, all of those things. A lot of times they coincide, but, it does happen more than, regular than not.
Yeah, I just didn't know if the fat cattle market and the feeder market kind of were in lockstep along the way. And for those that don't know, the feeder cattle are the ones that are going to the feedlot to get fat to then be the fat cattle market, which are
why
going
are you looking at me as you're saying this? Is it because you're sending me to market or because I don't know?
Because you don't know.
Okay,
because
thank you. Don't know.
Although I don't know what you know with some of
stop
the price.
It.
Okay, all right. We won't take him to livestock. Exchange.
I'm well marbled.
That's one
You're
way
well
of putting
marbled.
It. That's one way of putting it. But Robin, listen, it's that time of the year. I know a lot of people looking at grass, and I know a lot of people during that big uptick that we had in January, and really even now on the bred cattle side or the pair side, maybe got rid of some of those older cows and trying to find some supplemental cows for grass. What's that market doing?
You know what? That market has picked up on the pair side of things. The breads, there's still some late breads out there, you know, that guys are just done calving, doesn't fit their herd. And that market has been steady as well. So, you know, the pair side of things, they're in the $3,000, $3,500 for a nice solid mouth pair and with a good February cap inside. So, you know, those things are looking real good and promising. And, you know, again, it's springtime, and I call it buyer's grass fever. So you got to be careful because you can get a little anxious sometimes. It seems like the market gets a little anxious this time when everything starts getting green and ready to roll. But with that being said, you know, make sure that you guys, we've had a strange year, so make sure that you've got your good minerals out for everything so that you don't have any issues with your cows or your calves when you start going to grass. Because there's a lot of Brandons going on and a lot of things happening. So make sure that do your homework and maybe some soil samples or something. But don't forget that. It's real crucial.
No, it is very important. That was just a conversation we were having yesterday. But when you say that $3,000 to $3,500 for the pairs, it makes a guy wonder if he should keep them or if it's, you know, this market's that high. That's a pretty good price, Robin.
It sure is. You know, there's even some out there that you know, registered type herds over 4,000. So it makes the guy really stop, take a look, and analyze. You know, where you're at in the scheme of things, and sometimes, you know, if you're kind of upside down or a lot of your equity's used up, maybe it is not a bad thing to think about unloading and buying back when things kind of level out. But who knows when that'll be? And you know what, we all know that steady is always the best way to go. So stay in, ride the highs and lows, and you're still going to come out ahead, I think.
Yeah, very, very good, Robin. Well, what do you have coming up at Livestock Exchange this week?
Well, you know what? We are on our summer selling schedule, so we sell all classes of cattle on Thursday. And we have a lot of nice feeder cattle this week, and we have a lot of 95 head of big steers, base weight of 950, that's going to be selling through Cattle USA on the video. So I tell you to take advantage and go look at that video, look at those steers right now, and they can sure look at those. Those will sell at noon. So we'll start tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, with our weigh cows and bulls, and then we'll go to our feeder cattle, 12 o'clock. That video lot will sell first, and then all the live cattle behind it, and then we'll finish up with pairs and breads behind the feeder cattle and any weigh cows after that. So look for receipts somewhere in that, so 850, 950 heads. So lots going on out there, and, you know, we congratulated our scholarship winner here this last week, Americo Lorenzini out of Weldona. So, you know, that's on and ticking. And so, yeah, lots happening out here. We had hay sale, and it was a nice hay sale. So lots of traffic. And if they have any questions or want to know any more on any of the advanced consignments or what we got going on, they can sure log on to the website at livestockexchange.org, or they can sure reach out. The office number is 970-842-5115.
All right, Robin. Well, hey, appreciate your time as always. Thanks for the insight, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again next week.
Have a super week, guys.
Take care, Robin.
There you go. Robin Varman from Livestock Exchange. Do you know what she means by receipts?
No. I had written down, is there a 3D printer for cows?
No, there is not.
Okay.
No, there is not. Okay. It's a live
scratch
animal.
That off. Okay.
Okay, you're an idiot.
All right.
Receipts are how many cattle are there that they're going to be selling.
Oh, so I thought it was like Deion Sanders saves sales.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's not a lot of comparisons that you can find from Neon Deion and take it into the ag world.
It's prime cuts.
Yeah. Okay. That might be the only one that you can make. But, yeah, receipts, how many cattle are going to be selling tomorrow?
Okay, no, I didn't.
I didn't figure as much.
Yeah, thanks.
I was trying to be a translator. Call me Shohei Ohtani's translator. I want access to your bank account. 751 the time. We go from the cattle market to the latest in the tech world. Here's Kim Komando. Make your lunch plans now and make them at the Charo here in Greeley, 2109 9th Street.
Takeout, delivery, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. No. It's the place to get spicy. I like that. I like that slogan for those guys down there as well. We're going to be planning here in a couple of weeks actually in a few days. We need to get down there and do our Facebook Live review.
Do we get margaritas?
We get margaritas and food and
all that. Yeah. No, I'm totally down. I have spent many evening at El Charo.
I think we need to go like Friday.
Okay. You're busy today.
I am busy.
Okay.
Today. But Friday, does Friday work for you, Bri?
Friday, Let me put that in my schedule. Yes, I'm totally down. Let's go and check it out. They're a fourth generation chef. You know, it's a cool thing about this place, too, is the recipes are fantastic, and they really put pride in the food. And, you know, when it sticks around that long.
Well, it's family, you know, man. I mean, it was Pete and Carmen that started this in the 70s, now it's all the way down to their grandchildren. You know, that's really cool.
It is. No, I love stuff like that. The tradition, the pride that goes into that.
Yeah.
You know, it's great stuff. It is. It was when we moved here many, many years ago, we were trying to find where's going to be our Mexican restaurant. You know, where's going to be that place that it's a, you know, this is our place, this is where we go, this is our cheers, and El Charo was that.
Yeah,
you know, and for many, many years, and happy to be diving back in there and looking forward to walking through those doors again with you.
Yeah, Pete and Carmen, then to Kelly and Lou, and now Harrison, their son, is the chef there. It is really, really good. It's the Charo in Greeley, formerly El Charo, and we'll be giving away some gift cards here before too long to get you down there as well. They are our restaurant of the month, the Charo. Our Happy Life Gardens poll question today: what is on the top of your bucket list?
Aside from going to Charo?
National Bucket List Day, and we want to hear from you. Kyle saying the same as me, he wants to visit all 30 of the ballparks. Michael said that he started that this year, visiting all 30 MLB stadiums.
I love that idea. Yeah, that's really cool when you can start to. I talked to somebody else who was trying to do that and had reached into the 20s at this point.
Wow.
Which, that would be fantastic. And I think that, isn't that like Bruce Dick has talked about that?
It very well could be.
I swear he has too. Let's see.
Vanessa said, I want to stand in Times Square and walk through Central Park and fly over Vegas in a helicopter.
Those are all cool.
Yeah.
Love those. That's what it's all about today. It is Bucket List Day.
So get those responses. Keep those responses coming in. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll visit with Matt Voris from High Plains Honor Flight about what's happening this weekend.
Big flight taking off Sunday.
And learn more about High Plains Honor Flight that you sit on the board of. It's an organization that has grown near and dear to my heart as well. So we'll dive into excuse me, that a little bit. Brooke Rambold from Pathways Hospice will join us at 9:05. And then at 9:35, Zach Lemon, the athletic director for Eaton High School, will join us to talk about the implementation of the shot clock in high school basketball and how does this maybe disproportionately affect the smaller schools with the financing and everything that goes into it. So we'll dive into all of that. Wide plethora of topics coming your way here. On the other side, we'll relive that Avs win last night. It's tied up 1-1. We'll take a trip back and hear some of the calls in the action from last night here on Good Morning NoCo, presented by Air Solutions on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.